Today, if I can do this, it might just be the most important lecture I've ever given. Now, I know that sounds quite pompous, and it's a great assumption, and I could be way off base, but the reason I'm saying this is because this morning, for some reason, something came together within me where I understood intellectually how interdimensional awareness arises and the significance of it. Now, previous to this time, obviously that awareness was there, and obviously this experience was a lot of fun for me, and I found it to be very, very valuable personally. And I knew that there were periodically moments where I was able to share this experience, where I was aware that others who I was associating with at that moment were also able to share that experience at the same time. And for me, that was the most exciting experience, to have an experience I can share, because that's rare. Now, I think the catalyst for this new understanding, or shall we say, my clarity of understanding, the credit belongs to a discussion in the Hari Media Forum under Discussions with Hari, because I was challenged. And I knew this challenge was significant. I knew it was important. But I couldn't quite put my finger on why. You know, for me, questions, uncertainty, I find it as a very good thing. I find that when things are not defined, that this lack of focused definition inspires me. When I'm given very specific definitions, this is like this, well, then my left brain processes from that point on. In other words, this very fixed definition causes me to enter into an intellectual state of consciousness, one where reason and rationality and logic are the dominant principles in whatever would occur afterwards. I view technology in this way. Like, as you all know, that this effort that I'm doing to broadcast to you in stereo with my translator who's in Vladivostok 15 hours ahead, in such a way that he and I are simultaneously doing this. If you have any clue what that means, probably not. But I'm broadcasting this over video and audio at the same time in stereo, so that if you don't want to hear the Russian, you just put your balance over to the side of the English. So when I do this work, I am entirely and totally dealing with reason and logic. In that kind of work, definitions are everything. The precision of my definition is that which guides me to doing it correctly. Because in this kind of an activity, there is definitely a right and a wrong. Well, at least in this particular activity of broadcasting, there's 100% a right and 100% a wrong. There's very little in between. Maybe I could use a different codec for the video. I could increase the quality. Sure, the only reason I'm broadcasting at this low quality is so everybody all over the world can participate. I can broadcast in HD quality, but then I'd be the only one who could view it. So I'm pretty fixed. So when in my forum, somebody asked me about the future, and it was a request to define it. So initially I said, oh, by the way, this is going to be a really long lecture. If I'm going to do what I think I'm going to do, you'd better be prepared. You know, go get some water or whatever you got to do. So when I was challenged in this way, my initial reaction was, and I just avoided it for a while. That's the way I process. I absorb something and I let it cook in the back of my mind. And I'm trying to understand what it is about this particular challenge that affected me in such a way that I wanted to avoid it. Now, I admit it, sometimes people ask me questions and I want to avoid it, but only because it's going to take me time to answer. And I have to sit there and write and, you know, correct my English and make sure it's correct. But that's a kind of like lazy avoidance. I admit it, I'm like, I get lazy sometimes. But this avoidance, there is another category of my avoidance, which is I don't want to deal with it. There are reasons why I don't want to deal with something. And it's not because of lack of interest. Lack of interest, that's more in the lazy category. But it's because it's hitting me on a level that I cannot define, or I don't want to define, or I'm not ready to define, or I just want some time to separate between myself and my expression of self. I want distance. I want detachment. I want to detach myself from the situation that just challenged me, and I want to look at it from a detached point of view and feel how I feel when I contact it. Again, everything I'm saying up to the major discussion today is relevant. So even if it doesn't seem relevant, stay with me if you can. Now, I gave an answer based on structure. Then I was given a reply. The whole conversation wanted to lead to elitism, that I should create a group where the more esoteric, important, powerful principles are revealed to a qualified group of people. I label this as elitism. My nature is that when somebody approaches me with elitism, I just reject it instantly. But even though I did that this time, that's my automatic response. It's just natural. I wanted to know this time, why do I do that? What do I have against elitism? Okay, it's not just because at the basis of my heart, I'm a bit of a communist or an anarchist or whatever. It's not just because of that. Because I do appreciate and realize the requirement of structure and organization. I do realize there's a certain requirement of regulation. So my nature and my understanding is not necessarily connected, but it actually is. And this challenge helped me understand those two points. And that's why I've labeled the title Self and Group. The title of this discussion is Self and Group. Yet, it is totally related. I mean totally, 100% related to the theme of interdimensionality. And that's why I feel that this will be the most important discussion we've ever had together. How self and group, this resolution, is the key to interdimensional connection, which is the key to the attainment of all mystical experiences, spiritual experiences. It's an exact step-by-step connection. And it's finally something I can express. Now let's go back a second. You've got to understand my problem. I have an enormous problem when I'm dealing with all of you. First of all, you're spread out all over the world. Intercontinentally, globally, you're all over the place. Yet, periodically, I go to Moscow and St. Petersburg, and I'm connected with real, physical, living people who, as a group, are sharing energy with me as I do my programs. Or, factually, as we do our programs. Now, I have serious problems. Not that these are like, you know, psychological or emotional obstacles. I don't mean that kind of problem. I don't mean the kind of problem which is an engineering problem or a problem of management. My problem is there's me, my consciousness, and then there's my requirement to express that consciousness clearly, to express my experience in such a fashion that when you hear these words, it translates my experience into your experience. Now, that is a huge problem. The reason it's a huge problem is that experiences do not necessarily translate into words. There is not a one-to-one correlation between experiences and words. Just like when you have a very wonderful experience, you go, wow, that was great. Boy, did that feel good. Wow, I'm over the moon. What kind of explanation is that? All you've really said is, wahoo. You could just run around waving your hat and go, wahoo. Fantastic. How do you describe the taste of a food? You could say it tastes like something else. So all you can really do, besides saying this food is kind of salty or it's... Did I lose you? I could say it maybe tastes with these spices or in this way, a little hot or a little acrid or a little bitter or a little... it has these aromas and tastes mixed together and... It feels like this or tastes like this. So the way I relate my experience of the food is I share with you a parallel experience and an analogous experience that you might have experience of. So I say it tastes like this food which you ate. If I tell you, like, for example, somebody I just met, he puts peanut butter on celery. You know what celery is? Peanut butter. In my whole life, I never thought of the idea of putting peanut butter on celery is so inconceivable. It never in my entire existence entered into my consciousness. But as soon as I ate it, I said, my God, this is fantastic. peanut butter and celery is outrageous. You put the peanut butter on the celery and crunch away. It's just great. Now, how do you explain peanut butter and celery? Now, most of you, if not all of you, have no clue what it tastes like. You can't even imagine it. Maha, can you imagine peanut butter and celery? Absolutely not. It's impossible. So, peanut butter and celery. There you go. Imagine it. Oh, you can't. Why? You have no experience. Okay, what does it taste like? Well, it tastes like peanut butter, and it tastes like celery, but not really, because the combination tastes like something totally different. So how do I explain that? I can't. It's an alchemical combination between two foods that creates a third experience that is a compilation, a joining, a merging, a creation from these two ingredients. The only way you're going to know it is to try it yourself. Only way. Yet I have to speak. Well, do I have to speak? Well, I guess so. I guess it's what I do. But more importantly, there's a reason for it, and I understood it. Now, let's go back to when I was challenged. The idea of elitism, that I should make a subset of the really qualified and tell them secrets. And then I thought about that. And then I thought, of course, other people commented, and I was very grateful. The thought was, gee, you know, I've been sharing secrets, incredibly valuable secrets, the whole time. You know what? Actually, that's all I do. Now, what was forced upon me was to understand myself what I do. Okay, I must admit, there's this problem of how you're supposed to present yourself. That if you say, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, you're basically advertising yourself and saying, I'm just, wow, so cool. But does it have to be that way? If I'm explaining what I'm doing and that helps you to do it too, well, that's just the sharing of experience. That is the key. Now, I told you this is going to be a really difficult thing to express. That was my point, that it's hard. So I'm going to jump sometimes. Now, the group, creation of a group. Do I create a group? Do we have a group? Now, some people might say that if we do not have a group, then we have nothing of lasting value. And I say that the value is independent of the group. But that's not exactly true. The group has enormous value. But the value is very different than a traditional group. Historically speaking, groups were associated by very definite similarities, definable similarities. You can make a list of points. A family is a group. Why? Because you share a father and mother, or maybe a father or mother, or you share children, or you share relatives. This is very definable. You can very specifically make a list, a genealogical table of your family. It cannot be disputed. Or even if it is disputed, a DNA test, if you could do one, would prove it. Very definable. You're a member of a company. you are on the list of employees. You get a paycheck. You perform work. Very definable. You are in a class in school. Very definable. You are a citizen of a country. Very definable. You get the point. You are a member of a certain religion. Usually definable within the structure of the memberships. Religion, yeah. You're on the, you give donations, you get on the mailing list, you go to the church. But that started to become very nebulous. The spiritual group suffered as modernity took over in the world. As people became more and more aware, as they became more global, the specific definition of a group in a spiritual sense became modified. So much so that here in America, you have, just here in Gainesville, I think there might be like 50, 60 churches, each with a different denomination of the Protestant faith. The different sects of the Protestant faith. Just on my street alone, there's three churches. There's a Lutheran church, a Church of the Mormons, and a monstrous Catholic church, just on our main road here. Everything, if you don't like, for example, your group, you just make a new one. And you come together because you agree basically with some idea. You have ideal groups that come together because of an idea. They share an idea. Let's take that a step further. In our so-called group, we're not really that kind of group. We don't even associate in the same physical building. We don't have dinners together. We don't have social events together because we're all over the world. There are people, let's say in Moscow, who have their own group. They do their own thing. Yet, we are connected. The idea of group in its usual definition is no longer relevant. When it comes to spirituality that we are discussing, it's no longer relevant. Yet, the concept of group is a vehicle by which connections can be made. And these connections create bonds and pathways. I'll just say that again. When we create connections, we create pathways. Now, before I define that very specifically, and I can now, I'm very proud of myself that I actually got that together. Actually, I didn't really get it together. It was given to me. Okay, I admit it. But I really want to share it to you, but it's complex. Okay, I could just say it, and everybody would go, oh, isn't that interesting? But I don't want that. And here's why. Now, I think the key to attaining that interdimensional connection with using a group as the pathway is dependent on the integrity of the connections made. The integrity. Now, usually, when people hear the word integrity, at least in English, they take it to mean, because this is the common usage, they take it to mean that they maintain their pride, they maintain their position, they maintain their self-image despite other people causing them or wanting them to do something bad or false or whatever. It's a question of maintaining in an external sense. Or you might use it that this person has integrity, which means he acts properly. He acts with values. He has ethics. Now, all these definitions are good, but when I speak about the integrity of the connection, I mean this. I have my integrity. I've discussed this in that book, Conscious Evolution. I have my integrity, which means my essence, my being, my energy, that which I am, that is my expression of self in this creation, in this world, in this existence, wherever it may be. This is my integrity. It means I am. My integrity, or maintaining that, because I don't want to start switching what a word is, a verb or a noun, but anyway, maintaining my integrity, or some other usage, is that what I am shall always be. That my actions are my attempt to maintain what I am when I come into connection or in contact with things which are outside of my specific emanation of energy. Like when I deal with physical objects, when I deal with other people with their own individual wills, I do not mean it in relationship to that oneness that we are. I do not mean it in relation to the one of us. And that's my theme later on. I mean that I maintain my integrity during times of challenge. What would challenge me? When someone demands of me to be something I am not, to express in a way that is not true to me. In other words, to demand of me dishonesty. Again, I do not mean that if I think somebody's a total idiot, that the only thing I can say is that you are a total idiot. I do not mean that. I mean that if somebody tries to define me, somebody insists that I transform what I am for some reason that's external to me, that I do not embrace, I will not do that. What do I do when I speak? I'm not sure that everybody is clear about this. It's not that I just have some ideas in my head and they come out of my mouth. Absolutely not. Okay, obviously, what I say has to have some relationship to my intellect, otherwise I'm a robot or something, I don't know. I'm a recording. or I'm channeling. I'm not. But I'm not thinking. I don't think like that. There's no thinking. Where does it come from? This is where the integrity of connection comes in. And when I was challenged, in the way I was challenged, I became very confident about what I do and why I do it. And not because it's something special or only found in me. It's actually the key to interdimensional connection. Okay, we've gone up another step here. Why is this? Again, what am I doing when I speak? Well, I'll tell you exactly. If it's just me sitting here, or not even here, if it's just me, I am connected all over the place. I am connected on many different levels of awareness, levels of consciousness. I think everybody is, but I'm going to explain that later. I'm just talking about me now because for me to express this, I have to talk about me first. Then we're going to talk about you. So bear with me. With whatever state I associate, with whatever consciousness I associate, to some degree, I make a connection. Let's start with something very gross. Let's start with somebody I do business with. Purely business. No friendship involved, just business. I connect on that business relationship. This is nothing special. Which means I want something, this person's offering something. I pay, they deliver. We relate on the basis of that transaction. There is a connection between us. But it's not necessarily one that I would value. Or maybe it is. Maybe I value my connection to my music dealer because this salesman that I deal with really wants to make sure I got something that's good. The guy actually does. He cares. I like that. So when we have this connection, it transcends to some extent simply the exchange of goods because he actually cares about what happens to them after I get it. Am I happy with it? Is it working? Did it fulfill my needs? Can he be of service? It's a great attitude. I love it. Now, that's business. Let's talk about my connections to my garden. You may think, how did he go from business to plants, to trees? Well, my t-shirt, if you can read it, says tree hugger. I'm a tree hugger, proud of it. I'm a card-carrying tree hugger. I love trees. I love plants. I love nature. So when I go out into nature, I'm feeling all of these entities. Their energy flows through me, with me. And I float with them. And in that, I communicate with them. Some people think, that's crazy. You can't talk to plants. I say, okay, you want to believe that? That's fine. But I'm not going to say I don't do it. I'm not going to say the plants can't communicate because that would be against my integrity. It would block my integrity. It would create some distortion in my energy, which would make a conflict of my integrity. Because my integrity is, wherever I am, however I am, I'm connected on so many levels. Dogs love me. Cats love me. We're all buddies. Because I see them. I see them as beings. Kamal Amela brought his dog to visit me in Moscow. And I was just holding the dog the whole time in my lap. And when it was time to go, the dog said, goodbye, Kamal Amela, I'm staying here. And I said, doggy, as much as I love you, you got to go with your daddy. You know, that's the way it works. You belong there. And he was like, no, I'll stay here. And I said, no, you got to go. Because it's just this acceptance. I feel how they're good dogs. I feel they're good cats. I have a problem with horses because they're so big and they kind of intimidate me. When my wife hands me her horse to hold, this is like some big thing, and I'm just like, if he wants to just pull his neck like this, I fall over. So I'm like, I don't know if I feel very comfortable. So for me, in that situation, I don't connect. Sorry, I don't connect with horses. I doubt I would connect with alligators. We live in alligator land here. I don't connect with alligators. They scare me. Chunk. They chunk. You know, they chomp you. I don't connect with spiders. I don't like spiders. So I don't mind snakes for some reason. I think they're really cool. But anyway, when they're in the grass, they're okay. Not when they're on me. But so where I am, I connect. But it's according to my integrity. There are these connections and I'm floating with them. Okay, there's more connections. I connect with my deities. Or if I'm in St. Petersburg, I'm so connected that I walk in our temple and I'm just gone instantly, floating within that energy, floating in it. It's that connection that's constantly flowing through me, that connection, constant flow of energy. And that's probably why I love all these living entities, that I could just lay on a tree and hold it and hug it and feel that incredible connection with this beautiful, regal living entity. So then there's connections to these other devas, these other personalities in other dimensions that flows in and flows out. And that just makes me feel so alive and connected and never alone. Never alone. Because loneliness is not part of this kind of connectivity. You walk outside, you have all these friends everywhere. I have these nice bird feeders and watering places and all the nice little songbirds, the red ones and the blue ones and the multicolored ones. They come and they eat and they drink and they sit in the birch tree I put there for them. I just love this. And if I see people, I love to make connections with them. Love to find out what it is about them that is so unique and special. And I like to connect with that unique and special aspect of what they are. So what am I doing when I'm speaking? I, who am what I am, connected as I am, feeling as I am, experiencing as I am, finds that you are there, you are participating, you are sending your energy to me, we are meeting, we are finding energy similarities, we are finding common ground, we are finding shared interests, and so we are, our energies are flowing through each other. And according to the combination that is made, we may have peanut butter and celery. You would never expect it, but it works really well. So I have these different forms of very specific, very important energies. And for me, the more you respect and protect the integrity of your being, the integrity of your essence, and the more you refuse to be part of an expression that is not an expression of your essence, the more we can connect, the more we can share, the more we feel very comfortable. Now, what happens when I'm speaking here? I hope the first thing that happens is I make you feel very comfortable. You feel very relaxed. I am not threatening you. I may be challenging in the sense that I'm not accepting anything from you that is less than your expression of your essence. That I admit. But I'm not causing you to be discomfort, to feel discomfort in that. I'm not causing you pain. I'm not causing you trouble. I'm not challenging you in the sense that you're going to feel stressed. I am saying to you that we have this connection. You be yourself. I don't want you to be anything else. You be what you are. Under all circumstances, you accept what you are. And you maintain the integrity of your existence. And when you express with me, you do so as what you are, not what you think I want, not what you think is expected of you, not which is of some rules or regulations. Somebody tells me, create a group, set the boundaries, create definitions. I say, no, no, and no. And why? Because that's not what I am. I do not have such boundaries. I am not a member of a group. I refuse to be boxed into a definition. I don't even think that's right for anyone. I am. That's it. And I expect that others are. It doesn't matter to me whether they know that or not, because I will deal with them according to what they are. So sometimes what I say, sometimes what I do, may not make sense, because I'm not dealing with you on the level that you are dealing with me. I am not making a eye for eye, tooth for tooth response. Maybe my response is not according to what you think it should be, and therefore you think it's not appropriate. But from my consciousness and my expectation of people, I'm not going to degrade the integrity of my being to make you feel good. Because it's not so. It's like giving you a drug to feel good and thinking I did a service to you. I can't do that, because that's also not what I am. That's not my, that doesn't fit within the integrity. Now we're speaking in ethic and value of what I am. I want that you are, and what you are and what I am finds that flow of connection. If there are people in a group, if there's someone in a group that I'm speaking who has not understood by experience, I don't mean intellectually, because explaining this intellectually is an enormous task, but I mean who does not share the experience, who feels a negativity towards this, for whatever reason, I have a very difficult time, because I cannot block them out. I cannot reject them. So what do I try to do? I shift consciousness to try to embrace that which is of that person's essence, so they feel comfortable. That is an extremely difficult task. When Shiva and I play, as Shiva Hari, the band, we do the same thing musically. We have our musical integrity, and we are expressing it. For us, the optimal audience is an audience who has not come to exploit, that we're here, you feed our desire to enjoy, we take it. Our optimal audience is one who says, I flow within your music. I flow within your expression. And in that flow, my energy is part of the process of composition. Our energy gives you the inspiration by which your expression can grow. When that happens, me and Shiva are just, wow. Even amongst ourselves, between me and him, if he starts doing something, it happens. I mean, I admit it. When he starts doing something that grates on my integrity, I pull back. When I do something that grates on his integrity, he pulls back. Then we have to shut it down and start over again so that we are in tune. Otherwise, it doesn't work. We had to do a concert in some restaurant somewhere in Moscow where the audience was basically of the exploitative nature, and our musical feeling and the sound was awful. Everything was out of sync. The sound was out of sync due to bad mixing and bad monitoring. And we were out of sync with ourselves and each other. And nobody was in sync with anybody. The whole atmosphere was out of sync. And we hated it. Every minute of it. Every second of it. It's just the way it is. When there's this sync, there's fun, musically. So, in my world, everyone has to be accommodated. I can't tolerate that some are not. I want everyone to be accommodated.